Happy 4th of July. You know, y'all look different than the crowd that was in here this week. They were about, if you're over this tall, then you look different. We had, man, 250 some odd kids everywhere. Isn't that awesome? And many of you helped serve them, so we are excited about that. Did you know that freedom is God's idea? Did you know that? Freedom is God's idea. So as we celebrate the 4th of July today, our freedom, let's remember that in Christ we have eternal freedom. Yes? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you indeed are the God of freedom, that is because of that freedom that you've set us free, is that we can be free to love you and we can be free to worship you. Lord, we give thanks for that. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to us today. I pray for those, Father, who are watching on live stream in their homes or wherever they might be, that you would send your Spirit there with them as well. We pray that everything that happens today would lift high the name of Jesus, and it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Let's all stand. Put those hands together.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the ocean? Thank you.
Dad went in the hospital a couple of nights ago, a couple of mornings ago, rather. So I went to see him, and they were going to do a scope and look inside and see what's going on. And I prayed for him, and my prayer was positive. But I was thinking on the inside, poor Dad. He wanted to go fishing on Saturday. And he's probably going to be really depressed. He hates the hospital. It's kind of like Robert Duvall, you know. He kept putting his pajamas back on, and they don't, no, put your gown on. And he wanted his own pajamas. But the thing is early Saturday morning, he had a visit from God. He was reading his Bible. He couldn't sleep. And he told me that the visit from God was so powerful that he cried for 2 hours. He said he just bawled like a baby. So, you know, I'm home feeling bad for Dad. And he's having a visit from God himself. Isn't God good? God is good.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Yeah. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean breaks, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
Can be seated. Time for the children's sermon. You know, kids, if I don't hear the music, I don't know what to do. I gotta have it.
We do one today, but we're gonna talk about Vacation Bible School for just a few minutes. Hey guys. Hi, how are you doing? Hey guys. There you are. Got a few kids here today. It's a happy 4th of July. Are you excited about today? Anybody going to go see the fireworks?
Yes,
you did last night? Okay. Okay. Hi. Okay, sounds like lots of fun. Well, I'm excited. So happy 4th of July to everyone. So,
Christmas, yeah.
Christmas? Christmas? Okay, yeah, 6 months, right? Yeah. We're already talking Christmas. All right. Well, this is a great day, right? Are you excited about being in church today? Yeah. Are you excited just to come and learn and just to be together with friends and family? Yeah. Well, so I know most of you came to Vacation Bible School this week, right? Some of you didn't, but that's okay. If you weren't here, that's okay. We missed you, but it's okay that you couldn't come. For whatever reason, I know you were in Wisconsin, right? Yeah. All right. So, but I just want to talk about VBS for just a few minutes. And so I just want to kind of tell you, we had about 250 kids here this week, and about 100 leaders just filling this building, and we were packed out everywhere, so we were super excited about that. And all everyone learned that Jesus' power pulls us through, right? So was it fun? Did y'all have fun when y'all were here? Yeah. So our mission project this year, we did Operation Christmas Child, and we packed boxes, right? How many of y'all packed a box? Do you remember packing a box?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. So, and we collected money, and we raised $2,600 to help pack boxes and ship them all over the world. Thank y'all so much for giving and helping with these shoe boxes and stuff. So, and thanks everyone for helping with this. And thank y'all for just your support through our VBS and through the gifts and the donations that y'all helped so that we could have VBS. It was amazing. So I put together a really short video. If y'all want to watch the little video that I put together, and it's got one of our favorite songs on it. So are y'all ready?
Yeah.
You ready, Lee? Okay. What song do you think it is? What song do you think it is? Yes!
This train is bound for glory, this train.
Do you like this song?
This train is bound for glory. Jesus made a place in heaven for me. This train is bound for glory.
Did you watch the video? Where's the video?
This train is bound for glory. This train. In heaven for me, this train is bound for glory, this train.
Okay, now let's bring it down.
This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, Jesus made a place in heaven for me. This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, Jesus made a place in heaven for me. This train is bound for glory, this train. This train.
Time at VBS. Those are just the few pictures that we took, but thank you again for everything, and I hope y'all know that Jesus' power pulls us through everything, right? And we can trust Jesus all the time, right? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy and blessing of this week, Lord, of just celebrating VBS together and all these kids that came and learned and just celebrated together, Lord, the joy and excitement. And Lord, we thank you that your love is perfect and that your love is with us and watching over us and that your power pulls us through everything. Bless us as we go to Children's Church right now, Lord. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, Hunter, let's go. Would you carry that for me?
Good morning, church family. Good morning. Yeah, VBS was incredible. It was really good. And be praying for these kids. I can just visualize, just seed being broadcast. And there's going to be fertile soil there that's going to land on. And God's going to cause the growth. So pray for these kids. So welcome those of you worshiping with us online as well. If you want to register your attendance with us, that would be helpful. I want to remind you that Wednesday nights start back this Wednesday night, and we will do all four Wednesday nights in July, and then we'll take a break until the end of August. And Venture Cove, we have that reserved for August the 11th. We will eat in the park, more than likely over by Safety City, and then we have access to the water park at 7:30 till 9 or 9:30, something like that. So please join us for that. Jeff wanted me to start talking about our two services that starts August 22nd. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to grow. And we have witnessed over, back before COVID and after COVID, we've witnessed an increase in attendance. And we're bumping that 75 to 80% threshold that there's this thought when you get to that point, when somebody walks in looking for a place to sit, the sanctuary looks full. And so we've been bumping that for a while, and almost every Sunday we have new back rows that are created over there. Someone will pull out some chairs and make a back row, and somebody will come in behind them and make another back row. So you guys sitting on the back row may not be on the back row when the service is over. So, and it's not about the numbers, church. It's really not. I mean, if people are hungry for the Lord, we want to accommodate them and allow them to experience God's goodness when they come into this place. So that starts August 22nd. I want to remind you of the times. The early service is 8:30. We move Sunday school actually forward 15 minutes. It starts at 9:45, and the later service we moved it forward as well 15 minutes. It starts at 10:45, and we encourage you to consider attending that early service. We want to see that service be successful. So as we pray today, we need to be mindful of it being Independence Day, an incredible celebration for our nation. We have freedoms that's unrivaled and paralleled in most parts of the world. We want to thank the Lord for that. But also, for me, Independence Day spiritually happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus hung on the cross, and when he came out of that grave, my goodness, freedom was available for people. And it was for freedom that Christ set us free, and whom the Son sets free is what, church? Free indeed, absolutely we are. So let's take those two thoughts and go to the Lord in prayer. So just thank him, praise him for the freedoms that our nation experiences, and at the same time lift our nation up to the Lord. So spend a little time doing that. Thank him and praise him for the freedoms that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you, God. I just thank you for allowing this nation for a number of years to just kind of be a lighthouse to the rest of the world. And Father, I thank you for those men and women who have fought that we can continue to experience the freedoms that have been afforded us. Father, at the same time, our nation is in turmoil. Father, I believe we probably take those freedoms for granted too many times. God, I lift up our nation to you. People are responding out of their brokenness, out of their woundedness. So, Lord, I just pray for incredible healing to come. And, Lord, I just pray that the church has this sense of urgency rise up inside of her. Lord, that we will begin to cry out passionately for our nation, for the souls of the people who live in our nation. And Father, thank you for the freedom that we have this morning to gather here in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit is free to move unhindered. I think about Trevor's testimony about his dad. You know, God, you didn't have to ask for permission to come into the hospital room so Bill could encounter you. He didn't have to go to the desk. Didn't have to have his temperature taken. Jesus, you can move anywhere you want to move. I just thank you for the freedom that we witness in you. And Lord, I thank you for the freedoms that we have in Christ. And Lord, help us, if we're not walking in freedom, help us to discover what it actually means to be free. Jesus, you set us free on the cross. You set us free when you come out of the grave. We just need to walk that out. And I pray for those people that are struggling this morning with freedom in any area of their life, God. I just pray that today is the day that they realized that they don't have to live like they've been living. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning or anybody online that doesn't know you, God, I just pray that the Holy Spirit convicts, lovingly convicts them. And lets them know they don't have to do life by themselves. So again, Father, thank you for the freedoms that we have as a nation. Thank you for the freedoms that we have in Christ. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, we'll go ahead and take our offering during this next worship set. And God bless you as you continue to pursue the Lord. Thee. Just a
Big one for him, though, right? He gets a big one.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love.
Well, good morning again. I want to welcome you. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here. If you are our guest, would invite you to fill out a guest card. The card in front of you has a blue stripe, says guest. Would love to know that you were here. You don't have to do that, but would really like to meet you. And I'll be at this end of the foyer when we have a free gift for our guests. And I would love to meet you and get to know you. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Beginning in verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we know that in you is life, in you is truth. So we ask you to come and speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have a clue what this bowl is? Raise your hand if you know what it is. What's in it? You just thought it was a pretty blue bowl, huh? A few years ago, I had a lady come, a potter come, and actually, what do you call it? They call it throwing the pot when you do that. She threw the pot right here as I preached about being clay in God's hands. It was really cool. And she gave us this pot, and inside it, for the last several years, I have not looked at these. There's no names on these, but these are things to do with forgiveness. Things to do with forgiveness. I've also used it for our financial faithfulness. But for many years, different cards were in there that where someone stated, "I choose to forgive so-and-so." Forgiveness. Today, we're going to be continuing the sermon series, Overcomer. Overcomer. I started last week. And today's message is going to be Joseph overcoming hurt and betrayal. I'm going to preach a little different today. You're probably wondering where the insert is. Maybe you never knew there were inserts in the bulletin. There's inserts in the bulletin normally, or you can fill in blanks and so forth and online, but they're not there today. So I'm gonna tell the story of Joseph. I'm gonna summarize the story of Joseph. Many of you are quite familiar with this story, and some of you may not be. Our heritage, if we have been adopted into the covenant that God made with His nation Israel. And if we look back, you've heard and referred to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Jacob was the father of Joseph. You can find that. I really encourage you to read through Genesis 37 through 45 is where this story is found. But I'm going to hit the high points pretty quickly here. But I want you to I want to try to draw a picture of Joseph, his life, and what he went through and how he responded, and see if we might learn something. Joseph was, as I said, he was the son, one of 12 sons of Jacob, through Rachel and Leah, which were two sisters. And it's interesting, if you read the story, Joseph was tricked into marrying Leah. He loved Rachel, but he was tricked into marrying Leah. I won't get into that's a whole nother sermon. But he had sons through Leah, and he also had sons through Rachel. He also had sons through a couple of their maidservants, but that's another sermon as well. It gets messy. It gets messy. So he was one of 12 sons. In fact, Scripture tells us that Jacob was, he was Jacob's, Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. Now, I'm not really that bright of a person, but if you have multiple children, don't tell one of them that they're your favorite. I mean, that's not a good thing. But he proclaimed that to anybody that would listen, that Joseph was his favorite son. In fact, he made this this fancy coat for him and then presented to him this coat of many colors. And the other brothers were beginning to build up some jealousy, some resentment. And then Joseph didn't help. He had two dreams that I believe the Lord showed him, and he kind of boasted a little bit to his brothers about these dreams. Dream number one, just a summary, his brothers in this dream were wheat, stalks of wheat. And he was a stalk of wheat, and the brothers' stalks of wheat all bowed down to his stalks of wheat. That probably didn't go over real well with the brothers. In dream number two, it was a sun and a moon and 11 stars. There's the mom and dad and these 11 sons, and all of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to Joseph. Once again, probably not that great of a thing to be boasting to your brothers about this. So the brothers began to be angry and jealous, and they conspired to kill Joseph. Now think about this. Your brothers are conspiring to kill you. Probably not great. And here's in Genesis 37, 19 and 20, it says this. And one of the brothers says, "Here comes that dreamer." Don't you love that? They're seeing Joseph walk up. He's like, "Here comes that dreamer. What are we going to do with him?" They said to each other, "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Brothers weren't happy. And so they plotted against him. Reuben, who was Jacob's firstborn, the firstborn of these brothers, convinces them, no, not to kill him, just throw him in the cistern. So instead, he convinces them. They don't throw him. I mean, they don't kill him. They throw him in the cistern. And while Reuben was away, Jacob's other brothers sold Joseph into slavery. So we've plotted to kill our brother, and now instead we've sold him into slavery. Do you think that at this point, do you think that Joseph was beginning to have some reason to maybe not be a happy man? You think he might be a little resentful of these brothers who've plotted to kill him and who've now sold him into slavery? And they go back, the brothers sold him into slavery, then they smeared some animal blood on this coat of many colors that their father had given him, and they took it back to Jacob, the dad, and they said, "We found this shredded jacket with this blood on it." Jacob assumes that his son has been killed. So Joseph now, he's taken to Egypt. He's sold to Potiphar, which is a high-ranking Egyptian official. So now he's been plotted to be killed. He's been sold into slavery, and he has indeed become a slave to this Egyptian official. And yet, in the midst of all of that, Joseph could have turned to bitterness. He remained faithful. He remained faithful to God. And God blessed him. Joseph found favor with Potiphar, this man who was now his master. And he was doing all sorts of things, interpreting more dreams and doing all sorts of things. And Potiphar actually put him head of his estate. So he's now Joseph is running the show for Potiphar, this man who is his master. Then it got worse for Joseph. So he's still remaining faithful, even though all this stuff has been done to him. And then Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph. She sees this young, handsome man, and she begins to make advances to him. Once again, Joseph resists that and pushes her away. At that point, she is, and this happened multiple times, At that point, she is she's not happy. So she falsely accuses him of being the aggressor towards her, to Potiphar. He is now thrown into prison. So I'm mapping out the life here of this guy. His brothers were jealous of him, plotted to kill him, sold him into slavery. He's now remained faithful. He's in the service of this man, and he's trying to be faithful to him. His wife makes a false accusation. He's thrown into prison, and yet he still remains faithful. His attitude still is to be faithful to God, and God continues to bless him. So then he's in prison, and everywhere he goes, God just lifts him up, and I believe it's because he kept walking with him. He's appointed the right-hand man to the prison guard. The prison guard's going, hey, I like this guy. So he points him as his right-hand man. He begins to interpret more dreams, and he ends up, I'm going to skip forward just a little bit. One of the people he is in, interpreted a dream about has become in the service of the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh has had this dream. The Pharaoh has dreamed while Joseph is still in prison, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Famine. He's had this dream, and no one can interpret it. And all of a sudden, I believe it's this cupbearer for the Pharaoh says, "Hey, I remember this guy in prison that could interpret dreams. Interpreted a dream for me." And so they go and they retrieve Joseph. He interprets the dream and tells the Pharaoh, hey, there's going to be 7 years of plenty coming for the land of Egypt, and there's going to be 7 years of famine coming. And sure enough, it happened, just the way Joseph said it would happen. And as the 7 years of plenty came, Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of everything because it's all happening the way he said. And Joseph begins to stockpile all of the supplies, all of the food and supplies during these 7 years of plenty. And when the 7 years of famine came, Joseph was there in power. The Pharaoh put him in charge of the whole land. He said, do whatever he says. Okay. So they have gone through the 7 years of plenty. He stored up all this food. And they're now in the second year of the 7 years of famine. And guess what? Jacob and his family, these brothers, began to be hungry. They were going through the famine like everyone else. And so they had heard about this person in Egypt that they could go to and buy supplies, buy food. So Jacob sent his sons, minus Benjamin, which was his new favorite. He since he didn't have Joseph anymore, he's kind of taken to Benjamin, the youngest. And he sends them, minus Benjamin, to buy grain from Egypt. Lo and behold, they don't realize the brothers show up to buy this grain. They don't realize that Joseph is the one making the decisions. And there's a lot of razzle-dazzle there. He's sending them back and forth. Joseph's brothers did not recognize him. He sends them back. He wants to see Benjamin. He sends him back. Sends them to get Benjamin. They return, and that's when we pick up this passage from today. Joseph revealing himself to his brothers, and Joseph said to his brothers, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Now, before I go on with that scripture, it's that moment right there where, if we're honest, what would we have said? We might have said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt, and you ain't getting nothing from me." Yes? Come on. How many of us would have said something like that, perhaps? "I'm the one you sold into Egypt. I'm in charge now. Who's in power now? And you ain't getting nothing." But no, he goes on to say, "Do not be distressed, do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Joseph overcame hurt and bitterness, not just from his brothers, but throughout his life. It's like every time God blesses him and somebody brings him down. God blesses him and somebody brings him down. And that was just this pattern. He overcame hurt and bitterness, by, I believe, by staying connected to his God. He and his family and a whole country were blessed by that decision. So I want us to, here's what I want us to ask this question. How would this story have changed if Joseph had allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to poison his heart? Think about it for a second. How would the story have changed? Unresolved anger. And man, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that ever struggles with this. Is this on? Unresolved anger becomes unforgiveness, and unforgiveness becomes bitterness, and bitterness takes root in our heart and holds us bondage and will consume us. And I'm not saying that there aren't other causes that can be factors in these things, but unresolved anger, the results of unforgiveness, can result in cynicism and in, like I said, unresolved anger, in depression, in fear, lack of trust. How many of you have known somebody, maybe it's us, that someone's hurt them and it's like, I won't ever trust again. And we make that vow, I'll never trust anybody again because I've been hurt. I see it all the time with the church. People come to me and they've been out of church for 40 years, like, I was hurt when I was this age, and I don't trust the church. I don't trust pastors. I don't trust other Christians. Man, how would the story have changed for Joseph? And how about us? How are we doing with overcoming hurt and betrayal in our lives? Because, I mean, if we're honest, I mean, this is not very encouraging, but it's just the truth. People can disappoint us. Yes? I'm looking around the room, and if I had a mirror, I'd look at myself, and there's not a perfect person in the place. We can disappoint each other. We can hurt each other. Man, if we let that stuff take root in our heart, it's just a poison. I ran across this a few years ago, and I'm going to contrast two different approaches to forgiveness. Now, I'm not slamming anybody. I'm just these are just some different styles of teaching. Dr. Laura Schlesinger. How many of you are familiar with Dr. Laura Schlesinger? She has, and I'm not slamming Dr. Laura. I don't know that much about her. She's a marriage and family therapist and a radio talk show host and has those type of programs. But here's what she says about forgiveness, and I want you to see something about this. She calls it the four R's about forgiveness. The four R's that should come together before you should forgive. Responsibility. The offender who's offended you, who's hurt you, must take responsibility. The second R, remorse. The offender must show genuine remorse. The third R, repair. The offender must take steps to repair the damage they have caused. The fourth R, repetition. The offender must show that they are serious about not reoffending. Well, here's the problem with that approach. It's all dependent on somebody else. Guess what? Some people are not going to be sorry. I promise you, if we're waiting for somebody else to show those four R's before we forgive, we're in trouble. And here's another approach. This gentleman passed away a few years ago. His name is Lewis Smeeds, and he was a theological professor with Fuller University, Fuller Seminary, and he wrote a lot and taught a lot about forgiveness. And here's something he said about forgiveness. Let's say that you've been hurt. Somebody you counted on let you down. Somebody you trusted betrayed you in your trust. Somebody you promised to take care of you instead took advantage of you. The hurt goes deep. What makes the pain worse is that you were wronged. You did not have it coming. Nobody deserves to be treated the way you were treated. It was not fair. One thing is for sure, you cannot change what happened. There is no delete button for the past. You are stuck with it. You cannot forget what happened. You cannot erase it from your mind. It is like a videotape playing inside your head, and every time it's rerun, you feel the pain all over again. Is anybody relating yet? Now you have to make the hard decision. Do you want to spend the rest of your life with a pain that you did not deserve to get in the first place? Or do you want to be rid of it, healed, freed from it, so that you can go on with your life without the painful memory shadowing you? There is one way to heal yourself. It is not one way among many. It is the only way. God invented it. It's called forgiving. He goes on to say, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Man, what can we learn from Joseph's life? He was wronged over and over and over again, and yet he remained faithful to God. He kept the right spirit and attitude, and God blessed him. He blessed a whole nation through him. And it reminds me, as I was preparing for today, it reminds me of a Savior who has been betrayed by a friend, denied by a friend, and deserted by many more friends, and finds himself beaten and nailed to a cross. And as he's looking down, the soldiers who nailed him there are gambling over his clothes. The church who had covenant with God, the church leaders are mocking him. These friends, only one of the disciples are down there with him. The rest are, I can just envision them peeking through bushes in the distance, peeking around some adobe walls so nobody sees them. And Jesus is nailed to this cross, and that's the circumstances. And what comes out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Man, what a challenge to us. Jesus taught us to forgive because he knew the power of unforgiveness to destroy us. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. It is poison. He knows the power of unforgiveness to destroy us, and he knows the power of forgiveness to free us. And we're talking about, what a great day to talk about something that frees us on July 4th. Church, when Jesus was preparing this meal, the very night that he's going to be betrayed, deserted, and nailed to a cross, that very night, he's looking around the table at these friends, these disciples, and he's looking around at them and knowing what's going to happen, and yet he takes the cup and he blesses it and he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And he takes the bread and he says, "This is the body that will be broken for you," knowing what was to come. He was very aware of what was to come. I saw a meme just this weekend. I was flipping around on the internet and I'd seen it before, but it just reminded me that this meal, it goes all the way back to the Passover meal when God led the Israelites out of Egypt, and he had them sacrifice the lamb, the perfect one-year-old male lamb, paint the blood above the doors, and everyone who's in the home, the death would pass over. And this meme reminded me again that it doesn't say that God went into the home to see the worthiness of the people in the home, in the rooms, like, oh, you're in, no, you're out, you've done this, you haven't done it. In doing that, he saw the blood of the sacrificial lamb, and he passed over everyone in that house. That's what this meal is about. We don't come as a perfect people, we come as a redeemed people, redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus. So if you'll just pray with me, pray your own personal prayer of confession as I pray a blessing on these elements. Father, we thank you for the precious blood and body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because of you, we are forgiven and we are free. And as your word says, for those who are in Christ that are free, we are free indeed. I pray that this cup and this bread would be for us the body and blood of Jesus. I pray blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. So the invitation to this meal is from Christ. It's not from me. It's not from our church. The invitation is, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have proclaimed him as Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come and partake in this meal. And I would add, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I would not partake of the meal. But as I said, the invitation is from Christ. If we repent of our sins and call him Lord and Savior, you are welcome to come. You don't have to be a member of our church or any church for that matter. And I want to invite the praise team and the sound team and our servers to come forward now. So in just a moment, you will receive a cup. I would encourage you to open the bread first. So there's going to be four serving stations, two here and two here. You will come up and receive the cup, and I would, if you would, so that we don't get jammed up at the line, I would encourage you to receive your elements. And this side, in the center, in this side, there is a small little container that you can drop your empty in. If you'll go away from the serving area to open and receive, and then you can dispense with your cup and return to your seat. The altar rail is also open. So those who are serving here, if y'all will go ahead and partake of the bread and then the juice. Christ has invited you to his table. As you come forward, come as we worship together. And as I said, if you'll dispense of your empties on the edge, come. Thank you. Joseph said to his brothers, it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Now I want you to flash forward to Jesus. It was to save lives that God sent him ahead of us. We have good news, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.